Welcome, welcome, welcome to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is Ball is Life with DJ Smooth and DJ Radical, where opposites collide.
Ooh.
Ooh. Kill him. So we had another,
this is week nine that just passed.
Week nine just passed. So we're already halfway through the season. Great games. Great fantasy games, great fantasy players this week. And let's get right into it. I mean, jump right into it. Just, you know, want to give me a game that was a highlight for you this week in week nine? Because there was a lot of them.
Yeah, let me pull it up right now. But one that I was happy with was that the Chargers finally figure out how to close out a game. So, I mean, that was a good look for us.
Yeah, against Tennessee and Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariota's actually, you know, struggling a little bit in crunch time. I mean, Tennessee was driving in that game to take the lead with like 6 minutes in the game. And he ended up fumbling the ball, and San Diego took it back for a touchdown.
They had like two pick six. Their defense was one of the main ones.
And they're actually, yeah.
This week in fantasy.
And they're also the second most claimed defense in the past 3 days in fantasy football right now. I was considered either claiming them or the Green Bay Packers, but
the Chargers have Miami coming up, but I mean, I think Ryan Tannehill is an unpredictable force that he could, and with Jay Ajayi now, who's an emerging running back. I mean, this man made Arian Foster retire. That's how good.
Oh my God. He really did. Definitely did. And also, you know, they got Jarvis Landry right there on the outside. He's a threat.
I feel like he's been pretty quiet this year, though.
I haven't
really heard him, you know, having those big monumental games that he did last year and the year before. Because he for sure has the potential. We know that. But he hasn't been able to produce that much.
Yeah, so the score of that Charger-Titans game was 43-35. Just a big day from Melvin Gordon, 196 rushing yards.
Yeah, top fantasy producer right there. He's a running back one easily at this point.
Yeah. Rivers had a solid day, 275, two touchdowns. That's pretty solid.
But the thing about Rivers for me is he gets down really easily on himself and on his teammates, and I think that correlates to him not doing well for the rest of the game, because you'll see him doing something outlandish and something crazy that's just unnecessary, and then it reflects on the field, and usually they never come back. You'll see him spike the ball just out of anger and get down on his offensive lineman, and I mean, it's going to end up like in the longest yard when the linemen are just going to give up one play and just let, but like that's obviously not going to happen, but I think that he needs to keep a cool head. I mean, he's a veteran in this league and he should be acting as such.
Yeah. Also, what I found interesting with that game is the San Diego receiving. I mean, they, without Keenan Allen, they spread the ball out to a lot of different receivers. Four different receivers had more than four catches. Inman had 6 for 56 yards. Melvin Gordon had 4 for 65. Williams had 6 for 65 with a touchdown. And Antonio Gates had his best game to date this season, 5 for 75 yards and a touchdown. I just want to bring up the point that, like, without Keenan Allen, like, on the fantasy aspect, if you have one of these San Diego receivers, do you start them? Are they, like, a good flex option? Or, like, are they a good a wide receiver too? Or do you roll the dice with them? Or do you just, like, leave them on your bench and start them until they start producing?
I think it really is a dice game, unless you have Ty Williams, who has been basically their number one guy to go to. But say you have Travis Benjamin or Dontrell Inman, it's really a toss-up, because sometimes Travis Benjamin's not going to be there in the goal line. He's usually just there before they get to the 50, and you won't see him for the rest of the time when they get into the attacking side of the half. And it's just weird. I'll be like, okay, like, where's his dreads? I, like, try to, like, because I have, like, a specific way of picking out the players. You know, like, you try to find.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, I just won't see him, and it'll be like, all right, why isn't he in? So it really is a toss-up. But I think Tyrell Williams and Antonio Gates and Melvin Gordon are for sure starts each week.
Is Antonio Gates really as a tight end?
Yeah, I like him, actually. And I think that he's going to be producing more with all the injuries that the Chargers are having throughout.
Okay.
I mean, he's getting old. They have Hunter Henry, who's been a great force for their offense in the tight end line. But Antonio Gates is just solid, and he has been.
Did Hunter Henry even play this game? Because I don't even see him on the box score, the stat sheet.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Was he dealing with an injury? Because I don't even see him here.
Yeah, I actually don't know. Let's see. I'll look it up.
All right. But, yeah, back on the Tennessee – going to the Tennessee side of things for fantasy, because Ball is Life is all about fantasy football. DeMarco Murray, your boy, the one you guys have been raving about, had a silent day. I mean, 51 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown helps in the fantasy aspect, but 14 carries, 51 yards is not what you're expecting from DeMarco Murray, who's been a top running back option for fantasy football. How
that
did you
hurt
feel?
Me.
Oh, did it hurt
it
you?
It hurt me pretty bad. But, I mean, I didn't need him this week, really. But it would have been nice to have him continue that hot streak, and now he has to go up against a very tough Green Bay defense.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to bounce back, hopefully. And now that Derrick Henry's out, he's going to have a lot more load on him and carries. So it's going to be tough to see how his older body can adapt to that.
Especially against the Green Bay defense, who, you know, is a pretty tough defense. They got some big bodies, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers.
They're second in yards in scrimmage. Insane. So they don't give up a lot of yards or touchdowns.
Do you think opposing defenses are stacking the box against DeMarco Murray and making Marcus Mariota beat them? Because Mariota threw the ball 43 times. He had 313 yards, three TDs, but he also had two interceptions. Well, and I mean, a crucial fumble that we talked about earlier.
Going against the Chargers defense, I mean, they are really – that's what we're kind of known for, because we don't have much way on the offensive end. And with all the injuries that we've had with Jason Verrett, Manti Te'o, I mean, I could go on, but it's just – we have a tremendous defense. I think we figured out – because we have the Titans number, and we've proved that in years before. We're like, I think, 4-0 against them the last four matchups that we had, so – we have them figured out, and I think that we just knew what to expect that week.
Oh, okay.
Speaking from the Chargers' perspective.
Yeah, part of Chargers' perspective.
Yeah.
If you're Tennessee, if you're a Tennessee fan or a coach for Tennessee, or even an owner for fantasy, and you own Marcus Mariota on your team, for, like, Dynasty, of course, where me and DJ Radical are in a Dynasty league where you draft your team, and then you keep it for years on, and every year you just draft the rookies coming into the league. So if you have Marcus Mariota on your team, you drafted them, let's say, like in the middle rounds, like 8, 9, 10 rounds, right? And, you know, you're expecting big things because, you know, I've heard before the season that a lot of experts predicted that Mariota would take that next step to becoming one of the, like, a top young quarterback in this league. And he's made some strides, but he's also had some step backs. As an owner of Marcus Mariota, do you keep him? Are you happy with what he's done? Or are you kind of like a little nervous, scratching your head? Are you putting him on that trading block in the fantasy, in the fantasy world?
I'm happy with him. And I think that he is a good player to start each week. His points in our league from week to week, he went 24-24, and then he had a rough week of 6-10 back to back. And then he went 39-38. 23, 26, 37. That's pretty consistent, and that's not a bad stat line for a quarterback. And based off this right now, he is going to be ranked. There we go. Oh, he's starting in 63%. He's the number 23 quarterback overall. So that's not high, but I think that he's a consistent starter, and the only thing that I would mention is the interceptions.
So you won't sell? You won't, like, quick sell him, put him on the trading block?
No.
Okay.
I'm keeping him. I'm keeping him in the long haul.
Okay.
I put my money on him.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, it's just I know a lot of Tennessee fans are kind of disappointed because he kind of takes them out of some games, like, you know, like the fumble or, you know, just the interceptions, like in the red zone, in like the opposing team's red zone, he's throwing interceptions. And like for a fantasy owner, that's just like, man, that could be like six points. And as a, just a fan, that man, that's like a game. That's points so demoralizing. On the board. Yeah. So, you know, he's just been struggling a little bit. But I do agree with you. I think I would stick it out with him. And he's not like he's like having bad games where he's putting up 10, 17, 15 points. He's actually putting up like 25 to 30, 40 points.
And then another team that I really liked in week 9 was that the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they did exactly what I guess what everybody hoped they would do against the Cleveland Browns is put your foot on their neck and don't lift it up. And that's exactly what they did. They showed that they were the dominant team. They showed that this is just this Browns team is nothing. They really blew through them like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just kind of surprised that Cleveland started Cody Kessler, to be honest, and not Josh McCown. I think Josh McCown gives them the best option to win, but when you're 0-9 and you draft Cody Kessler in the third round, I guess you're just playing him to see if he's the future quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but
I think they're just trying to get a new look because they're 0-9, and it's like, okay, Josh McCown's not really working out. Cody Kessler's not working out. Let's just switch it, give them one a break, and start the next one. So I think next week we'll see Josh McCown back out there.
Yeah, and let's just talk about Ezekiel Elliott. Is he your MVP this year?
He is Rookie of the Year. I don't know MVP, but for sure, easily Offensive Rookie of the Year.
18 carries, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Cowboys won this game 35-10, and they're 4-0 on the road, 7-1 overall. And they're looking like the best team in the NFC right now.
Number 2 in the power rankings, number 1 in the NFC in those power rankings because the Patriots are number 1.
I believe in
this team.
I think the Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC right now. I think their biggest threat right now is the Atlanta Falcons because Packers are struggling.
I could see the Giants being another chance.
Maybe the Seahawks, but I don't know. The Seahawks have been on and off lately.
Vikings?
The Vikings have been struggling. They lost in overtime at home.
They started off hot and fell off.
Packers. I said the Packers, but I don't know. They lost to Indianapolis this week.
They did. That was a shootout though.
Yeah, and just I don't know. I don't know about the Packers. They're just on and off.
I think they're missing Eddie Lacy.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Their run game is...
Like how Minnesota's missing McKinnon and then Peterson also.
Nah, they have Matt Asiata, who is a fullback.
Yeah.
Getting like 15 carries a game.
Yeah.
That's tough to see.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC. And fantasy-wise, Dak Prescott had a magnificent day, 21 of 27, 247 yards, 3 TDs.
Wow. That's near perfect.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, 18 carries, 92 yards, 2 TDs. Even Alfred Morris had a solid day.
Jason Witten breaking out the young man in himself and going for 134 yards, 8 catches and a TD.
Cole Beasley, who I did not start this week. He was on my bench. He had a solid 6 receptions, 56 yards, 1 touchdown.
I don't think it would have helped.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have helped. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, try to get all the points you can. Terrell Pryor, I had him. I started him. He had 5 receptions, 47 yards, 1 TD. Is Terrell Pryor like a one season thing, or is he like a one season person? Do you think he's gonna
be a fling?
Yeah. Is he gonna be a consistent receiver next year? Because he is a free agent after this year. Cleveland's trying to re sign him. I know that for sure. And they should.
Terrell Pryor. This man's doing it all for the Browns right now.
Yeah. Next year, is he a viable fantasy option?
I think it really depends where he lands. I think if he stays in Cleveland, he'll be fine. He'll still be playable. But I think he could be overshadowed somewhere else if he gets traded, and I think that he could just be forgotten about.
What would be let's say if he doesn't stay with the Browns, what would be like a solid team that would he benefit playing for?
quarterback of the Jaguars.
Oh.
let's see. I think he could do well. And the Detroit Lions need some receivers.
Detroit. I was thinking, and this may be
San Diego,
I was thinking, are also Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm.
They don't really. That
would be a nice move with Macklin, too.
Yeah.
Get some pressure off him.
Macklin, and they got the Tyreek Hill. They got
the Bears?
Yeah, Albert Wilson. See, I wanted to say the Bears, but honestly, they don't have a quarterback to throw the ball.
That's a good point. There's also.
I like Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's a nice. That's a good look. Detroit never has really done anything that. I mean, they really never had anybody fill that void that Calvin Johnson left.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Jones and Anquan Boldin are doing the best they can, but it's tough. I think he can make a nice addition with Julio Jones.
In Atlanta. With Mohamed Sanu also.
He could be a nice slot receiver.
I like that. Or you can throw Sanu in the
Tennessee
slot.
Titans with Marcus Mariota, give him another option to throw to. They were talking about his, who was the receiver for him. It's going to be Rishard Matthews, they're saying, is a serious start for the Tennessee Titans in that he is the person to look out for in this waiver wire because he's getting so many looks and targets, and he keeps progressing throughout the weeks.
Yeah, he actually has. He did catch, I think he caught, did he catch one or two touchdowns against the Chargers?
Two.
Two, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
he
had 63 yards and two touchdowns. So, wow. I mean, it's a good look seeing him, and I think that he could be great, but the only thing that makes me skeptical of picking him up is that they have Marcus Mariota at the helm, who I still think needs some time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm not contradicting myself earlier. I still think that Marcus Mariota should be started. But as looking at it from the wide receiver perspective, there's some help that needs to be there for that aspect.
Okay.
But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then another team that I thought played well was the Buccaneers. Even though they did get destroyed on the defensive end, the offense of the Buccaneers was working on all cylinders. But Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, I mean, how do you stop that?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan is the number one wide receiver or quarterback in fantasy football right now.
Yeah, he's also the leading candidate for MVP, and he's just having a solid season. And having Julio Jones, helps a lot. But I think when the running game got going with Coleman and Devontae Freeman, I believe that really helped Matt Ryan because, you know, it took most of a lot of pressure off Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's allowed to, like, you know, do play action and sit in the pocket and find those receivers. Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Jacob Tammy.
Give him those options.
And he's airing the ball out. And he's honestly, you know what? I'm glad that Matty Ice is back. Matty Ice is back to form because I didn't really like a lot of people, like, kind of, you know, throwing him under the bus last season. Like, oh, maybe he's not the quarterback that we thought he was going to be. He's a bust. Mm-hmm. He's just an average QB. So I'm kind of glad that he's playing better because I've never got off the bandwagon. I thought he was a solid starting quarterback. I thought even though Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, I thought he's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I just feel like Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl because, you know, he had Ray Rice. He had the defense with Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed. So I just think Joe Flacco had a lot going for him. I've always liked Matt Ryan over Joe Flacco, and you can tell now that Joe Flacco – with losing that defense and losing that a great running game, he's really just an okay quarterback. He's not Matt Ryan, who I feel like is an elite quarterback, top 10 at least in this league. And he deserves to be an everyday starting quarterback for fantasy because he will put up the points. He doesn't make a lot of stupid decisions. He doesn't turn over the ball. He scores in the red zone when he needs to. He puts the ball in the touchdown. And he knows when to pick and choose his spots. So I really like Matt Ryan as an everyday quarterback, especially for fantasy football.
Does their record reflect the way that they've been playing? Do you think that they should be 6-3? Or do you think that there's some games that they maybe should have come away with a W that they didn't. I mean, they lost to the Buccaneers in week one. They lost to the Seahawks, and they lost to the Chargers.
Yeah, there are. I mean, the Charger game, they should have won. They were up by 13 at halftime.
The final was 33-30.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, I mean, now.
Tampa's unpredictable.
Yeah, thinking about it now, like, oh, they should have beat Tampa Bay, but that's week one. Week one's very an unpredictable week.
Yeah.
Seahawks game, they could have pulled out. They lost 26-24, but again, it's in Seattle. You're dealing with the 12th man, and there was also that controversial no-call pass interference at the end of the game.
On Julio.
Which could have helped. But they are a good team. I think they are the second best team right now in the NFC behind Dallas Cowboys. I mean, think about the wins that they pulled off. I mean, 35-28 in Oakland. Oakland 7-2. They beat the Panthers, the defending NFC champions, 48-33. They went into Denver and beat the Denver Broncos 23-16.
In Mile High.
Yeah, in Mile High. And then they beat Green Bay in a shootout 33-32. Yeah. And then this past week, they just dominated the Buccaneers 43-28. So they are a good team. They play the Eagles this week. I see them winning that game in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, I think, is a
– those two picks –
is a guy that you should be concerned about, especially in fantasy. I know he was the hot thing after week three. Like, everyone picked up Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
But now he's a guy that I feel like you should consider just, you know, stashing in your bench if you have him on your dynasty league.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have him in, like, a regular just, like, one-season league, the, like, what are the league's called?
Just redraft
league? Yeah, redraft league.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a guy either you just put him on your bench and you start him if you need to or if you like the matchup, or a guy you either try to trade or just straight up like cut on your team and find someone better, because I honestly don't see him really picking it up from here. He's looking like the rookie quarterback. He's not the pro that we saw.
The tanks on E.
Yeah. There's just a lot of mistakes. Did you see
the first take inside here from DJ Smooth?
Yeah, did you see the two picks he threw in the game against the
Giants? Yeah, he didn't even see the linebacker, and it went literally to his chest.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, he's a guy
his vision's getting blurry.
You should not start, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like him. But back to the Falcons, they're a legit team. Right now, I have them in the NFC Championship against the Cowboys.
Wow.
Yeah, because the other teams – I really don't like. I think Atlanta could beat Seattle in the playoffs.
And also for the conference right now, looking at the NFC, it's the Cowboys, Seahawks, and Falcons is the top three. And I think that the Seahawks are a fluke. I don't think that they don't look like a 5-2 team.
Yeah, because they're on and off. Like the game they lost against the Rams was, what was it, 9-6? Or it was something ridiculous. And then they tie with Arizona 6-6.
It's like, what?
So, like, some weeks their offense could be on, and then some weeks their offense is just, like, totally
non-existent.
Yeah, I feel like Russell Wilson, honestly, is one of the biggest busts in fantasy this year.
Hmm.
He's a quarterback that some weeks don't put up a touchdown.
Wow.
There was like three straight weeks where he didn't put up a touchdown.
I think Allen Robinson's a bigger bust at this point.
See, he is, but I feel like Allen Robinson, it's not all his fault. It's, again, the QB that he has that he's playing with is Blake Bortles, who just can't get him the ball and can't get Allen Hurns the ball, or Julius Thomas, Mercedes Lewis, Marquise Lee. He just doesn't get him the
ball. Look at the options that this man has.
And his windup's slow.
I think Russell Wilson goes to Jacksonville Jaguars. They make playoffs. But that would never happen. But I think that he would fit in nicely with that offense. With T.J. Yeldon, they can run the option real well there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, moving on.
Moving on. A game that I really enjoyed that I thought was like good for fantasy was
there's a lot of high scoring games this week.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Joe Flacco had a decent game, and Mike Wallace, He had three receptions for 124.
Yeah, 124.
24 yards with a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, you started him. That was actually a really good look on your part.
Yeah, I was so happy.
He set a record for the Ravens for the longest touchdown in franchise history.
He's been a solid fantasy play this year. He's put up a lot of numbers. He put up a lot of numbers week one. I see. I got him right here on my team.
But he actually has been doing well. But the thing that really stuck out to me was Ben Roethlisberger. He still did not look like the Ben Roethlisberger that we know.
Yeah, no, he's still injured.
And it's noticeable.
He's still injured. But the thing is, they don't have a legit a backup for him. I mean, Landry Jones is not good.
Yeah, Landry Jones is not an option.
So Ben knows like the season rides on him. So he's got to play injured, or just the seasons they're not going to be a good team.
And even going off that, it's the fact that Le'Veon Bell was absolutely shut down by the defense of the Baltimore Ravens. No, but the Ravens defense really came to play, and Le'Veon Bell went for 32 yards on 14 carries. I mean that's really not a good look.
Yeah, no. If you think of it, you got Alvis Dumervil, Terrell Suggs. Who else? Eric Weddle, who's a safety, but he can like go in the box and make plays.
Zachary Orr, Darius Webb, C.J. Mosley.
They got a solid.
They have a nice core. Yeah,
they got a solid front seven there, and they're actually in first place right now of the division.
They are. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are tied 4-4 after that game.
Yeah, they're in first place, and then Cincinnati's 3-4-1. Yeah, but it's gonna be a race in the AFC North. I still see Pittsburgh winning, and also who was quiet, Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and he actually had some interesting words after the game, saying that I can't do this on my own,
and he can't. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, he was a top running back in fantasy, top running back in the NFL, and hasn't produced.
Yeah, he was third on their receiving yards.
Has not produced at all. But back to Mike Wallace, he's been a solid option in fantasy for me and also for other users. First week, he had 18 points, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Second week, he had 41 yards, but he had two TDs with 16 points. Then their week three through week five, he had
fell off.
Yeah, he only had 3 points, 6 points, 6 points. Then he had 9 points in week six, and then against the Jets, 13 points. And then this week, 21 points, 124 yards, and a touchdown. So he's a solid play. I like him against Cleveland this Thursday night.
Yeah, defense or a conference game.
I like a lot of Baltimore, just Baltimore all around, defense and offense. I like Baltimore against Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, in a division like that where they have so much like animosity together, I think that the Baltimore Ravens really come out to play against their division rivals.
Yeah, I like if you have the Ravens defense or any Ravens players, key players like Mike Wallace, Terrence West, Joe Flacco, I say start them because I'm starting them.
Yeah.
I'm starting Terrence West, Joe Flacco, and Mike Wallace this week because I think
it's a good look. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of options in there, and I think if Joe Flacco, he's starting to play the way that he got paid to play.
Yeah.
Because this man signed one of the biggest contracts in NFL history.
Yeah, nothing against Cleveland, but y'all, Cleveland, you're garbage. They're 24th against the pass, allowing passing yards per game. They allow 284 passing yards per game. They allow at least two touchdowns per game, passing touchdowns per game, which is 31st in the league.
Their point differential is -105.
Yeah, and then they're allowing yards from scrimmage 160, which is 31st in the league. They allow 1.5 rushing touchdowns, which is 30th in the league.
Looking at
it's just bad. They're really bad.
Looking at the point differentials for all the divisions, there's only one division that has point differential positive in all four, and it's the AFC West.
AFC West is nice.
The AFC West is the best division in football right now.
Talking about the AFC West.
And the fact is that the Oakland Raiders have the second lowest, only a point in front of the Chargers. The Chargers have plus 21, and then the Raiders have 22, and then the Broncos have 48, and the Chiefs have 34. So it's interesting how the Raiders are just getting by in all their wins. They have never had a solid blowout win except that 10-point victory over the Broncos, which was one of the biggest win deficits that they've had.
And also the 33-16 win that they had over Jacksonville. But you're right.
Don't count out the Chiefs, though.
No, the Chiefs.
Four-game win streak.
The Chiefs beat the Raiders in Oakland. Chiefs are a team to reckon with. I mean, all teams in the AFC West are to reckon with.
They're undefeated at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders are undefeated on the road.
Yeah, so it's honestly, it's going to be a very fun division to watch.
Yeah, it is.
The Raiders' strength of schedule is like in the middle. They have they're on a bye this week, but then next week they play Monday night against Houston, which is actually in Mexico City. Then they'll play the Panthers at home, and then the Bills at home after that. Panthers and Bills are tough, but I can see them squeaking it out against. They're going to be close games. I'm telling you, the Raiders are not going to blow anybody out.
The hardest strength of schedule, there's two teams that are tied for first, and it's the Falcons and the Niners have the hardest remaining schedule. Yeah. And the Oakland Raiders are at 15th.
Yeah, they're right around in the middle.
It's 13 through 15. It goes San Diego Chargers at 13, Denver Broncos, Oakland Raiders, and Kansas City Chiefs. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, because maybe they all play each other. The Raiders play the Chiefs in Kansas City on a Thursday, December 8th. And then right after that, they got to go to San Diego and play the Chargers. And then on New Year's Day, the Raiders end their season against Denver, which possibly could be for the division.
Yeah. And the Green Bay Packers, on a side note, have the easiest division or easiest schedule. And the Dallas Cowboys are at 27. So that's a good look for the Cowboys, and I could see why people are starting to pick them to go into the finals.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. Also, it's just they have everything rolling on offense right now. I mean, they don't really have to Dak Prescott really doesn't have to throw the ball a lot because Ezekiel Elliott's taking all the workload. They're rushing him 20 times a game, 20 to 25 a game. And for fantasy, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
That's something you want to see.
And they have one of the best offensive lines with one of the best blocking tight ends in the league as well in Jason Witten.
Yeah. And then, that's the thing. Dez Bryant hasn't even really gone off this
year. Dez Bryant hasn't done much. That's another big bust in fantasy football.
He's been very, very solid.
But, I mean, they have Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley I like because Dak Prescott is very comfortable with him. Yeah, He's very comfortable with him and Jason Witten.
Yeah, he has that Danny Amendola type.
Mm-hmm. Or Julius
Edelman. Yeah, Julian Edelman.
But I like him. Packers, honestly, even though you say they have one of the easiest strengths of schedule, I don't see them making the playoffs.
Really?
I don't see them making the playoffs. I see Detroit sneaking in. Detroit right now is 7 behind the Redskins and Giants. But they're also half a game out of the NFC North.
And there's wild card.
Yeah. They're half a game out of the NFC North, and they just beat the Vikings this past week. So watch out for Detroit.
Okay.
Watch out for Detroit. I've always liked Detroit.
Same here, and I really liked them when they had Calvin Johnson, who was my favorite player for a bit, but unfortunately he was smart enough to realize when it's time. And I mean, you never want to see anybody go down with a bunch of concussions like he went through, and he spoke out about that. But still, the Lions now, after losing Megatron, have been doing some really good things
on offense. Their offense is starting to click. They're getting Golden Tate more involved in the game, so they got him going. He scored the game winning touchdown in overtime. Marvin Jones has been very consistent this year.
And then Theo Reddick in the back.
Theo Reddick, he's been phenomenal. And then your boy Eric Ebron is starting to get going, and I like it.
He got injured in, I think, like week 5 or 6, and then this man really came back with a purpose, and he was eating on the field on Sunday with 94 yards, one of his best outings yet, and he's only 24. I mean, in the long haul, that's why I drafted this man. I think that he's going to be able to be there for that team, and he's going to be able to develop like an Antonio Gates-type player.
Mm-hmm. Eric Ebron. Yeah, he's a solid player, and just, you know, sorry, we're just kind of looking at the little what's going on with the presidential debate right now and
election.
Yeah,
presidential election.
Election, and 91% of the votes are in Florida, and Trump is up by 1%.
It's a big state, but anyways.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, it's just something we're just you know, looking
just
at.
Just wanted to bounce back, give you guys some diversity here on the show.
Yeah. okay. So,
do you want to talk about
talk about the games? What you wanted to talk about?
Maybe stardom sit-ems?
Yeah, I was gonna say that, or I was gonna go like waiver wire, who to look for this week. Maybe.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so who should you look for? I know you mentioned Rashad Matthews.
The wide receiver in Tennessee,
Rashad Matthews. I know you know him as a person to claim this week, because he's been getting a lot of looks this week for the Tennessee Titans, and Mariota has been throwing them. He had 2 TDs this week. Is there anyone else on your waiver wire radar?
I think that Trey Burton might be a nice pickup here as the backup for Zach Ertz.
Okay.
I kind of like that he's actually been getting at least a target a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's somebody who you can look for when you're in the red zone and Zach Ertz just caught like a 50-yard bomb and he has a breather. In that next play, they need that man to step in. He's going to be that guy to get the touchdown. And he actually only has 1 on the year,
mm-hmm.
but he has had some games where he's gotten a good amount of targets.
Okay.
So I actually like him. And then also against the Atlanta defense, who is just horrible against guarding the tight ends.
Hmm.
And they almost give up a touchdown a game to tight ends.
Wow.
Three in every 4 games, they give up a tight end touchdown.
He is a solid pickup then. I might have to go try to claim him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 10th on the waiver wire, so anybody who you pick up is going to be right there. So that's the one that I think is going to be pickup. And then also the Green Bay Packers defense, I think, is a good pickup as well. I don't trust a team that I don't like this week is the Miami defense against San Diego. I don't see anybody doing well on that side of the field.
Hmm. Interesting.
I could see Jay Ajayi running for a good yardage, though.
So. Yeah. A person I like this for the waiver wire for this year,
mm-hmm.
and he's a young guy, so for like dynasty players, like this could be a solid pickup. Maybe just this year, maybe not for the future. But this guy's only 23 years old. I like the running back from the Denver Broncos, Capri Bibbs.
Yeah, they were saying that he is somebody to look into.
Yeah, Capri Bibbs, because Devontae Booker hasn't gotten going for the Denver Broncos, and he definitely did not show up against the game against Oakland. And that's one of the big reasons why Denver lost that game, because they weren't able to run the ball. But Capri Bibbs gave the Raiders a little bit of trouble. On the ground, he only rushed 2 times, but it had 11 yards. But he had 1 reception for 69 yards and a TD off a screen. And then Gary Kubiak, the Denver Broncos coach, stated that Capri Bibbs could see more touches because he's performed well enough.
So I guess he did just enough to get him opportunity in the next game, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he might be a guy to look into. He might be a guy to look into.
I also want to say on the flex, Michael Thomas, the wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints, has been producing a good amount for them, and they really like him over there in that organization and in that offense.
Mm.
And he's actually been doing pretty well these last weeks for him. He actually had 19, which was his best, but he went, his last 4 weeks has gone 13 points, 14 points, 6, and then 20. So, I mean, that this is not ESPN standard. This is in our league, but he's been producing very well for that team as well. And also Cole Beasley, he's available in a lot of leagues still. And people don't want to buy into him for some reason.
Yeah, no, I bought into him because he's been a solid contributor on my team. And there's some times where I just don't start him. But where I should have, I mean, he's been a very solid option. And again, Dak Prescott loves to throw this man. He has 43 receptions over the year, 499 yards. His average receptions, 11.6 yards per reception. He has 4 TDs.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a total in our Dynasty League of 74 points. And again, he's like first game, targeted 12 times, 8 receptions. Second game, he's been targeted 6 times, targeted 7 times, 4 times, 4 times, 6 times, 7 times, 6 times. So it's a guy that Dak Prescott looks to throw, and he hasn't had a game below 5 points.
He's getting good looks.
Yeah. So, you know, he had 6.5 against the Giants. He had 7.5 against Washington, 7.3 against Chicago, 7.3 against the Niners, 11.3 against Cincinnati, 17.8 against Green Bay, 5.3 against Philly, and then this past week, 11.6 against the Cleveland Browns. So it's a guy that I would start this week against Pittsburgh, who's have had trouble with the receivers. With receivers. I mean, you saw how they allow big plays. Like, they allow big plays with Steve Smith, with Mike Wallace. And
their secondary has been falling off.
So it's a team that you may need to look for. And because the thing is, Dallas might be on the field a lot, because if the Steelers play like how they played last week,
mm-hmm.
where like a lot of three and outs, a lot of punting the ball and not having the ball a lot of time of possession, the Cowboys offense might have a lot of more opportunities to be on the field and score some points. And also they control the ball well with running Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott in that whole Cowboys offense has been doing well, but bouncing over to the Cleveland's offense and Andrew Hawkins, he's been getting more and more looks throughout, and he's available in a lot of leagues still. But I mean, looking at his scores, they're inconsistent, but he does have that big game potential. And whenever Cody Kessler or Josh McCown want to show up, they can find him easily when Terrell Pryor is being double covered in the secondary. So I think that he has an interesting aspect to him and a good dynamic. Although going against the Baltimore defense, who gives up the almost 2 touchdowns a game to wide receivers and 162 yards per game to wide receivers, and they average 12 points against wide receivers. So, I mean, that's a good look as well, seeing Andrew Hawkins there. Although he's not projected for a lot, but projections don't mean a lot.
Yeah, true. Actually, a guy that I like, just real quick, is from the Vikings, Cordero Patterson. He had a big game against the Lions.
Isn't he taking our league?
Yeah, he's taking our league, but I'm just saying he might be worth the start, because Minnesota doesn't have a lot of options on the outside, and he's becoming that, like, emerging as that number one receiver for the
Vikings.
Yeah. Maybe even behind Stephon Diggs, maybe the number two.
Yeah, last year he was the main guy, and then Stephon Diggs just emerged as a breakout, and he just was hauling in all these catches because Cordell Patterson was getting all the looks. And now this year, the roles have just reversed.
Yeah, and he had a solid game against Detroit. I mean, 8 targets, 6 reception, 45 yards. He didn't get in the end zone, so that kind of hurts. But, I mean, for PPR, that's...
Yeah, receptions are big time.
That's a big time thing. Standard leagues, I mean, if he's got 8 targets, I mean, obviously Sam Bradford's looking for him, and they're not really running the ball really well. And Stephon Diggs is getting, like, most of the coverage, like you said. So he could be a guy maybe worth looking into and starting him. I also like the other guy across from him, Adam Thielen. He's a
I don't know how to pronounce it.
he's a wide receiver for Minnesota as well. And he's been getting targets. He had six targets last week, four receptions, 68 yards.
I think looking at the targets are the biggest things to see in each week, the consistencies throughout. When you're making these waiver wire pickups, it's something to really look out for the people who aren't really that knowledgeable on the fantasy football side. When you're looking at a player to pick up on the waiver wire or trying to get some sort of new addition to your team, look at four wide receivers at least. Look at the targets that they have. Look at how they've been hauling in their catches, their catching rate compared to their targets. And I think those are the two main things to look at. Would you agree to that?
No, I definitely agree with that. That's a solid point right there.
Because looking at the projections, projections really don't mean much.
Honestly.
But something that I wanted to mention or bring up was the fact that Alfred Morris has literally disappeared and fell off the map ever since they figured out that Ezekiel Elliott is just a beast.
Yeah.
Because now he's just a backup, and he's so talented, and the Redskins just bought into Matt Jones like it was nothing. And I think that I really think that Alfred Morris is a great running back.
He is, and I think he might find another place
next year.
Yeah,
he needs
year.
To get out of there.
Let's not forget, the Cowboys also have Darren McFadden, who is injured.
Yeah. I mean, they're so deep in that position. They can make so many great moves to get other addition to their offense and defense. Because I think that's the main thing that they're missing if they want to win a championship.
Yeah.
They're giving up a lot of points.
They are. They need to go more on the defensive side.
I mean, they gave up 10 points to the Browns. That's kind of a lot.
The poor Browns. Leave them alone, all right? They're going through a lot right now.
They really are,
the
though.
The Browns are 0-9. They blew a 3-1 lead in baseball. They're going through a lot. Cleveland's only got the Cavs and LeBron James.
Jeez. Right. I have a question. What is the number one quarterback to pick up?
On the waiver wire?
Yeah. Who would you pick up this week if you had
this
to start
week,
somebody?
If I had to start somebody.
Both your starting quarterbacks on your bench and in the game, tear their ACLs.
Wow.
You have to pick up somebody. Who's the one player that you like this week?
I have two.
Okay.
One, Trevor Siemian against New Orleans.
Mm.
New Orleans gives up the second most passing yards in the league, 304, which is 31st in the league. And they only allow one touchdown a game to opposing quarterbacks, which is 11th, which is pretty solid. But Trevor Siemian has that big playability. I mean, he had one to Norwood against the Raiders last week, and then he threw the little screen to Bibbs. So he could be a guy, and I feel like Denver's going to be on a mission after getting kind of embarrassed on Sunday Night Football, so they might be against a mission. And New Orleans defense, as we all know, not so good. And plus, he's the 45th most added player in the last 3 days is Trevor Siemian. So he might be a guy.
Really?
Also, another guy that I like. I like Case Keenum against the Jets.
That was mine.
And the only reason why it's
because
the Jets defense, which just allows up
just ample amounts of points.
Yeah. So I like Case Keenum a lot also.
And then who are your sit-ems on the waiver wire that you say no-go?
No-go. Brock Osweiler. I don't like him against Jacksonville.
Mm.
I really don't.
I don't like Brock Osweiler in general.
Yeah, with them. That was the other point I was going.
DeAndre Hopkins needs something.
Are we just doing sit-ems like on the waiver wire, like don't add?
Oh yeah, we could do who we have on our bench as well. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So who you benching this week?
I want to. So I added Tim Hightower last week, and he was a solid pickup for me. But now that Mark Ingram's coming back, also he's playing the Denver Broncos.
When did you pick up Joe Flacco?
I picked him up last week.
Did you start him against me?
I did not. I started Derek Carr.
Was that the right move?
No, I should have started Joe Flacco. I mean, they both had decent games, but Joe Flacco had like a touchdown or two touchdowns
last week.
But
Joe Flacco against Cleveland this week, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that I'm definitely starting him. But so I added him. But Hightower, I added last week. I started against the Niners. He gave me solid points, 16.2. But this week, Ingram's coming back. They're playing Denver, and Denver just got gashed for 200 yards against the Raiders. So you know the run defense is going to be pretty solid. You know Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips over there in Denver are going to prioritize on making the run defense way better than it was last week. So I don't really like him, so I'm going to bench him. Another guy I'm going to bench, Gary Barnage. I'm really disappointed in him. I put him on the trading block, and his value is
going downhill.
Losing, yeah, his fantasy value is just going downhill rapidly.
You should have sold high.
Yeah, he's just not a guy that I hope Terrell Pryor doesn't turn into this guy. Gary Barnage was a fantasy surprise last year, and everyone expected him to be
To replicate that.
Yeah, and he just definitely has not. So I don't expect Gary Barnage to have a good game, especially against Baltimore. So Gary Barnage is a no-go for me.
It's tough to see your team this week, though, because of the 13 Raiders players that you have.
I don't have 13 Raiders players.
I know. But you got to get a defensive and a kicker.
Like, I listened to your advice while you were talking about the Green Bay Packers. I claimed them, so knock on wood.
Yeah, hopefully nobody else is going to pick that up.
I get them.
I mean, I know I'm not because
you're 10th.
Last on waiver wire. Your waiver wire is 6, so it's gonna be a close call. It's going to be a close call to say the least.
Can't call it.
Can't.
But, yeah, so who are your...
Yeah, let's bounce over to mine.
Yeah, who are your players that you want to start? Okay. Or players you just tell these people who to start and sit.
Well, I really want to start Jameis Winston against Chicago, but it's not really a good look.
It's not.
So I think I might start Ryan Tannehill against San Diego.
Really? San Diego had a solid outing last week.
But they give up nearly 300 yards to quarterbacks.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's tough because I think that the Bears D could fall apart at any second, like Jay Cutler's career.
Oh my God.
But I really like the Mike Evans aspect of it. But what really confuses me is that Mike Evans against, or the wide receivers against Bears defense, is 28th, 22nd, and 25th. So this team is not anything good with wide receivers. Although they say it's not good to start quarterbacks, so it's like how do you get wide receivers the ball if the quarterback, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just don't get that math. And also, I think that DeMarco Murray is a tough start this week. Not really something to look forward to, as he is the number 3 running back right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Green Bay Packers defense is 2nd, 12th, and 7th, so that's a tough look there. But Rashad Jennings is supposed to be doing some great things against Cincinnati, but the situation there is really weird right now. For him, hasn't been getting the most rushing attempts, mm-hmm. as there's been other players that have been bouncing in and out, getting those touches that they're saying to start picking up. But I really need this man to do something for me this week, as it's just... I need him because I have Latavius Murray on a bye, and that's just not a good look for me.
Yeah.
And then somebody to sit for sure, I would say, is Isaiah Crowell against the Baltimore defense.
He's, again, another Cleveland player that had high upside early on in the year.
Yeah, and then Duke Johnson.
Yeah, is just killing it. Isaiah Crowell has gone down, yeah. I just have a question for you because I need really a... Because I'm not going to start Gary Barnage this week.
I always give you... I mean, the advice that I give out is always going to be pure and...
A1.
I'm not trying to... I'm never trying to hurt anybody.
You're like a Kanye West. Positivity. You're trying to just lift everyone.
Yeah. Really, though.
Do I start Julius Thomas against Houston? For Jacksonville.
Who else is...
I mean, this,
an option. That's the only option.
This is the, I got Jack Doyle on a bye.
Ooh, Baltimore is strong against against tight ends.
Yeah.
Where is he? Where's your tight end? Who is he?
Julius Thomas.
Wow, you don't have a good look here.
Do I go on the waiver wire and add someone? Because that's what I'm looking at right now. This might have to be my option.
I don't think so. I think Julius Thomas could do something. Houston defense has been playing very poor. I had them and I've been starting them until I picked up Miami defense. But I think that Brate out of Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
they were saying that he'd be a good pickup this week for waiver wires. I had Richard Rodgers for a bit off of Green Bay, but they're saying that there's like a weird, I'm not sure what's going on over there, their situation, but he did well for me in a couple weeks. So it's kind of hit or miss. You have to kind of take a chance, I think. But besides that, I think those are four solid options, but I think Julius Thomas could do something against Houston.
Okay. I like it.
I think that Tyreek Hill is a good start this week.
Really? I have him on my bench. I just
I mean, I wouldn't sit Mike Wallace. I wouldn't sit Terrell Pryor. Or, I mean, you can't sit Alshon Jeffrey because it's Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah. Well, okay, Tim Hightower.
Yeah, you could bench Tim Hightower and start him. Actually, I like Tim Hightower's matchups. You have good matchups.
Yeah.
And you're not going to sit Devonta Freeman, even though Philly's defense from running backs is tough.
True. Okay, so this is what I'm thinking, because Chris Hogan is that one guy that could just go off for the Patriots. And I don't know. There's a lot of studying that I'm going to have to do and a lot of things that I'm just being in the lab just studying.
Yeah, unfortunately, time's running out, so I think you're going to be able to get to study that sooner than later.
Yeah, so we are hitting the end of our show here. Show 6.
Show 6. Well, I mean, we're going to have all this next semester. Breakout March Madness.
Yeah,
SMU.
That's the whole basketball edition of Ball is Life. But right now we are still in the grinding in football and fantasy football.
I love fantasy football.
Same.
It's my favorite.
It's going to be a good time. But anyways, for DJ Radical, I am DJ Smoove, or opposites collide. Ball is Life. And you can only listen to here on Penguin Radio. Radio.dominican.edu. And we will be back next week. 5 to 6 every Tuesday here to listen to the fantasy experts of Dominican and I guess fantasy experts of
fantasy.
All time.
Yeah, of all time.
Really, so
get a sign.
Yeah, please. All right. And so we will be back and everyone have a good night. And if you haven't voted, go vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you soon.
Drinking and smoking and singing. So I left, that is it, that's my life, nothing is sacred.